Welcome to the Go Hard Chick podcast. This is your host, Crystal Holmes, and today I bring you episode 12, Nutrition Talk with dietitian Alicia C. Simpson. Alicia is an international board-certified lactation consultant, and she is a registered dietitian. She specializes in maternal and pediatric nutrition. She is the executive director and founder of the nonprofit Peapod Nutrition and Lactation Support. And Alicia is an author. She has written a few books about nutrition, such as Quick and Easy Low-Cal Vegan Comfort Food, Quick and Easy Vegan Comfort Food, 65 Everyday Meals for Breakfast, Lunch, and Dinner, Boost Your Breast Milk, an all-in-one guide for nursing mothers to build a healthy milk supply. So Alicia comes to the podcast today, Go Hard Chicks, with a wealth of knowledge. And she's going to share with us today how we can get our eating on track, how we can plan more nutritious meals, not only for ourselves, but for our families. So welcome to the Go Hard Chick podcast. And ladies, get your notepads out now, because you're going to want to take some notes with all the information that Alicia is going to share. Once again, let's welcome to the Go Hard Chick podcast, Go Hard Chick, Alicia C. Simpson. Welcome to the Go Hard Chick podcast, Alicia. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I am fabulous, and I'm thrilled that you are on today. I mean, I'm absolutely thrilled, because I've been wanting to get some sort of nutrition expert on, and you are a board-certified lactation consultant and a registered dietitian, so I am thrilled to have you on today.
Thank you. Yes, I'm pretty obsessed with food of all kinds.
So. Well, that's good, because I'm obsessed with food, but I'm trying to figure out how to have a more healthier obsession, if you will.
Yes. Yeah. Dietitians, we have a different kind of obsession with food.
Right.
So, yeah, it's a little different. We're like, that kale is amazing.
Right. Exactly. Yes. So please, Alicia, tell the listeners a little bit about yourself and what you do as a dietitian.
Yes. So I founded Peapod Nutrition and Lactation Support, which is based here out of Atlanta. And my big goal, so I tend to think really, really long term, probably too long term. But my big goal is to really eliminate all these chronic health conditions that are caused just by how we live and what we eat. That's kind of why I got into lactation and pediatrics, is just seeing how devastating it is to, you know, live with diabetes, or to live with, you know, hypertension and heart disease and all of these things, and how hard it is to change habits. You know, when I started working, even on my internship to become a dietitian, and I'm working with 60 and 70 year old people who, you know, have been in diabetic comas and lost limbs, and still, you know, drinking soda and Kool-Aid and all the stuff. And it was nearly impossible for them to give that stuff up. And so that's why I move towards the preventative side of things, so that you don't have to get to that point where, you know, 60 years old and you can't give up these impossible habits. So.
Right. And I think now, at least for me, and I'm starting to see a slight shift with COVID-19, I think folks are trying to clean it up a bit with their diets.
Yes. It took a couple different directions. Yes, now right. They are. At first, it was like everything in the grocery store.
Right.
We have to eat it all.
Let's eat all the chips. Let's eat all the snacks. Let's, you know, shelter in place with the junk.
And then, yes.
But I think now people are trying to look at the healthier side of things. So, and one thing in particular I'm concerned about, not only myself, but of course, folks that have families, that children, how do we encourage them to eat better too?
Yes, I get this question a lot. And I work a lot with like families who have picky eaters. And so they're trying to figure out how to incorporate all that in. And the biggest thing that we can do as parents and people with families, or even just regular, just caregivers, people who have kids in their lives who are eating around them. And because kids just want to do whatever we're doing. We're the adults. And they're like, if you're doing it, then that's what I aspire to be. And it's all by example. I mean, there's no real magic to it. It's all just, you know, I eat healthy food, therefore my kids eat healthy food. And so that's an easy thing to say if you started off that way. But if you're transitioning into that, then it's really making it all an adventure. In my house, we call it Culinary Adventure Months, where we're like, this month, we're going to open up all the food magazines and we're going to go through and pick out something that looks gorgeous and amazing that we've never done before. And we're going to try it. And so that's a really fun way to start incorporating that healthier living in. But it's all by example. I wish there was a magic way, but
right.
It starts with us. Yes.
Okay. So, okay, listeners, it starts with us. So what can
no
we
pressure.
Do? What can we do since it starts with us? How, like, what should we look for? What are the types of things we should be eating or not eating?
Right. So I get this question all the time of like, what's the diet? What should I be doing? and the thing is it's not really that sexy, the thing that we should be doing, which is why, you know, it's not filling the blogs, but it's basically most of your meals should be vegetables or fruit. About a fourth of it, like the size of the palm of your hand, is your protein. Unless you're trying to build muscle or you know, doing really real athletics. So I always get folks who are like, no, I'm really active, but our bodies are designed to be really active. And so like if you're really, you're bodybuilding or, you know, doing professional athlete type exercise, then more protein in the palm of your hand. And then carbs are also about the size of the palm of your hand. And I know a lot of people struggle with the carb part. And like at the beginning of the pandemic, that's what everyone went for, is whether it's salty or sweet, carbs are involved. And the size of the palm of your hand, like that's not how we usually eat carbs. So like spaghetti is a carb and no one's eating a palm of hands worth of spaghetti. So except the dietitian's house. So, that's really all it is. There's no magic trick to it. And for those who have families, you know, you think of a kid's plate that's divided into three, and that biggest section is the plant section. That biggest section is where all your veggies and your fruit should be. And those other two small sections are the protein and the carb. And that's all it is.
Well, I can guarantee you the big section is not I thought that's where the meat went.
Yes. Yes. Like that's where you're supposed to put all that stuff. Yes, that is the section because that's where all of our nutrients live, really, is in those veggies, you know, and we're thinking like a cup of broccoli has like 33 calories in it. It has percent of the vitamin A you need, the vitamin C, it has calcium, it has magnesium, like all of that in a little 33 calorie package. It's nothing. So it's nothing, and yet it's everything. And fiber, it has water. And we also, a lot of people don't realize like how much protein is in the foods they're eating. So like an entire chicken breast, you know, we're getting upwards to 30 grams of protein. So if you cut that down to the palm of your hand, then we're getting like a more manageable amount of protein in a day for each meal. So yeah, we're all putting everything kind of in the wrong spots. And if you've been doing this for a long time, which most people have, then it's about those slow transitions, finding what you love to eat, roasting your vegetables, make your vegetables delicious. I think that's a big problem with our vegetables, is like either we steam them to death or we cover them with a lot of butter and salt and cheese and sauce. But you know, really learning, I think roasting vegetables is the best way to cook almost any vegetable. And it's just, you know, oven somewhere around 350, salt, a little pepper, a little olive oil, and into the oven they go. And they're just so sweet and flavorful and amazing. And then, of course, the stuff we should be staying away from, we kind of all know, but it helps to have someone say it. All of our, you know, the liquid calories are the big ones. The lemonade, the sweet tea in the South, the soda, all of that. That just adds on, even our occasional cocktail. I had a couple last night, you know, saving for a good time. But those really are where a lot of those calories come from. It's all of our, call them sugar sweetened beverages.
So you mentioned something, because I've been trying to experiment more, mm-hmm. but the roasting of the veggies. So you say that's a great way. That's good to know, because I've been thinking about, well, actually I did try that a couple weeks ago. But I think I'm going to experiment some more now since you mentioned that.
Yes. And like playing around with different seasoning salts. And there's a great local company to Atlanta. It's called Briny Salts. And they have this magic unicorn salts and campfire salts. And this magic unicorn salt on it says it goes on everything and it's amazing. And you look at the reviews and it's like, my picky eater now eats all the food. And all it is I think smoked paprika, like a little salt and a couple other small seasonings. You put that on anything and it's like the most amazing food you've ever had. And every, like roasting broccoli, cauliflower, asparagus, just, the culinary adventure, really going into the grocery store. And I'm sure many people have heard this, but you're going to find your best stuff on the perimeter of the grocery store and not in the middle. All your fresh stuff, where either your fresh meats and your fresh veggies and fruits. And there's so much in that section. Like, my grocery store doesn't have, like, your grocery store has all sorts of things. There's star fruit in there. You know, there's all sorts of amazing things.
Okay, that you brought up a good point, because the center aisle stuff is typically processed, correct?
Yes. That is where, and it, like, we're not all going to sit here and make, you know, these beautiful from scratch meals every single night. So there's a place for everything. It's mixing and matching it. Right. So some things we're going to do completely from scratch. Sometimes we're going to go for the frozen vegetables and, you know, it's going to take a little extra to make that into something. But, you know, that's just the way it is sometimes. And, you know, sometimes we're going to go for, you know, the frozen meats or, you know, your canned beans and things like that. It's all about finding ways to just make that a bit healthier. And I tell my patients all the time, like, I was working with, you know, someone the other day who their diet was pretty much like ramen noodles, mac and cheese, just your typical like carb. And we worked on just first step, adding vegetables to those things. All right. So you eat ramen noodles. Okay. Can we start taking some mixed vegetables and throwing it in there? And some peas for protein, and let's start there. Okay, you love your mac and cheese. Can we add broccoli to the mac and cheese so that we now have a vegetable to go along with that protein and that carb? So starting small. So if you're coming from a mac and cheese ramen place, and you need to start making those changes, I think that's another place that people fall short. is because we try to do everything at once. And most humans don't do well with just changing everything and keeping it up long term. So be gentle with yourself and small changes.
Okay, so in just to touch on something again, with the processed food, and I mean, I've fallen into this trap. It's sometimes it's just the convenience. You're rushing, you're working, you're trying to get home, and you try to make that meal, and those frozen chicken nuggets take 10 minutes.
Like, ooh, yes, pop it in, done.
So what can we do to, I guess, do you have tips for better planning, I guess, so that you're not in that trap of pulling the ramen noodles out or whatever?
Yes. You know? Yes. So people come to me all the time and they're like, meal plan, essentially. Like, how do we meal plan? And I'm like, I promise you, you don't have to get a master's degree in nutrition to meal plan. It's all about thinking. It takes a little thinking ahead of what do we want to eat. That's really all meal planning is what do we want to eat, making sure it fits that mold. There's mostly vegetables, a protein, a carb. And then what I really recommend for folks to do, and I do it all the time, my freezer is packed and I have an extra freezer, is when you do have an opportunity to cook, double whatever you're cooking and freeze the other half. Start to utilize your freezer. Also with any kind of meats, you remember those old George Foreman grills?
Yes, I have. Oh,
awesome. Yes, everyone has one tucked somewhere. Those things will cook like your chicken in 2 seconds. You can take it out of the freezer, put it on the Foreman, season it, close it, you're good. And then also, like, we're looking at like frozen meats. Everyone always goes for the nuggets, but they have, you know, frozen chicken strips. There's, you know, you can warm those up. You can add it to a salad. You can put that with some pasta. Like a really quick one that folks never really think about is like you get a little bit of like a light Alfredo sauce, a little pasta, get your protein, some, you know, warm up some veggies and ta-da. And that was all, you know, center aisle foods, but you can turn it into something. And, it, you know, but a lot of people with kids, their kids love their nuggets. Okay, you can have your nuggets, but where's our fruit, our vegetable? Where's our other things to make this complete?
Got it. So, and another thing I find myself, I do buy fresh veggies and fruits, but I find myself going to the store damn near every day. Yes. And I'm thinking maybe I'm doing this wrong. I don't know. But if you're trying to buy the fresh veggies and fruits, is there a way to manage those store trips? Like I don't know what to do.
Yes. So it can be a little tricky. And in other countries, they have this like mastered. Everything's just fresh and out there. And you just kind of pick it up on your way home. Getting really hearty vegetables like cauliflower and broccoli and things that can last a little bit longer are helpful. And this part does take a little planning. Like if you're doing, you know, salads and getting lettuce, then that's probably what we want to eat first in the week. And then your heartier vegetables that can last a little longer, your zucchini and eggplant and all of that, that can last a little bit longer, eating those later on in the week. Same for fruits. So like your apples and pears and things like that, they have a much longer shelf life than your like banana. Or getting the mango that's not quite ready yet, so you have, you know, till the end of the week. So it does take a little bit of planning. And this is also where, like, if you're buying these foods, you have to buy them with intention. Because sometimes we buy them and we're like, all right, we're going to make asparagus tonight. And then, like, 5 nights later, I meant to make asparagus and now it's gone bad. So planning what meal each one of those things is going to go with so that there's an intention for what's in there is very helpful. And then also, you know, the one trick I've been doing lately is, and it's so much cheaper to buy like the whole cauliflower, the whole broccoli, but it's so much faster, the pre-cut ones in the bags. And I've been doing a lot of pre-cut veggies lately. It saves that extra, you know, it might be only save 3 or 4 minutes, but it's my 3 or 4 minutes and I need it. So that's really helpful. And then I can like just throw it in the air fryer, throw it in the oven, and it's done. And those tend to last longer as well.
So, and that's a good idea, because I just threw out a bunch of vegetables that I never even touched. And you're right, I didn't plan. I just saw it. I thought, okay, I'm going to get this. And I didn't plan. So you're right.
It needs a space. And all the planning is just deciding what you're going to eat and writing it down. And then that's your list. That's your grocery shopping list.
Okay, that's a good tip. Now, do folks need to be concerned with counting calories?
No. Counting calories, it's so 80s, you guys. We're not doing that. Come on, y'all. No, like the dietitian in me, I know every calorie. A lot of people use different apps, and I use apps as well. They help keep me accountable. And of course those apps will count your calories and things like that. We want to be mindful of calories, especially if, you know, we're doing those center aisle foods that have anything that has a nutrition facts label. We definitely want to pay attention to that. Just so that you know what you're putting into your body. So many people don't realize, like, oh, like my favorite snack, and they turn it around. It's like, oh no, it's only like 100 calories. I'm like, well, that was 100 calories for 4 of those chips, and you ate the whole bag. So now you've had, you know, 1400 calories. So we want to be mindful in what we're eating, that, you know, we're sticking to serving sizes and looking at calories from that perspective. But, you know, counting everything that we're eating, it's just not viable long term. And it can also cause kind of an unhealthy obsession with every little thing that we put in our mouths. But really, if you, like I said, you stay that kind of, it's plant-based diet, but you can still eat meat. You can still eat all those other things. It's more of that Mediterranean style diet where your focus is not on the most calorie dense parts of what you're eating.
Now, let me ask you this, because I got this question from a listener and I'm curious to see what you have to say. I worked out for an hour, so now I can eat whatever I want, right?
Oh, I wish that was true. Oh, I wish. Especially if you're trying to lose weight or to get leaner, that's not going to work out. So when exercise, and I love exercise, it's essential to our bodies. So like I said, kind of in earlier, exercise is just what our bodies are supposed to do. We're supposed to be in movement a day. When people are like wearing their Fitbits, and I'm obsessed with mine, that 10,000 steps, like that's just the bare minimum of what you're supposed to do in a day. And many of us don't hit it. Especially in this, you know, pandemic life where we're sitting around much more than we were before. And so a lot of exercise is not burning the calories that people think it's burning.
Because you just dropped a gem. Yeah. Those 10,000 steps that people strive for, that's not even enough.
No, that's your minimum. That's just what you should be doing in a day, just for, so if you're getting your 10,000, great. Now we're adding an extra workout to that. Now we're doing a little strength training. Now you're going to do an extra walk. You know, that's just your bare minimum, which is, I know it's hard. It's hard. I have folks coming in who get like 1,000 steps a day. And okay, well, we're going to work our way up. But yeah, like going out for an hour walk at the end of the day, that might burn 200 calories, and a tortilla is about 250 calories. Yeah, I wish we could just eat whatever we wanted to after a workout, but sorry, listener.
Right. So that kind of puts things in perspective,
Yeah.
that the quote unquote workout that folks think they are, the I guess the number of calories they think they are burning, it might not be that
Right.
much.
Right. And I had someone in office this week. They're like, I can eat whatever I want because I work out 3 times a week, right? And like that's not I'm not the case. Not the case.
And that may also explain why some folks, they may be working out pretty hard, but if you're going back eating a bunch of junk afterwards, that's why you're not losing the weight.
Right. Or either like working out and then eating a bunch of junk or cheat days. Oh, can we take cheat days out of the vocabulary? So
Okay.
we got to take the cheat days away and find ways to just, dietitians, we have donuts too. We have ice cream. We have the things. But we like those cheat days tend to be days where you did good all week long. You put your body in that right calorie deficit and you lost a couple pounds. And then in one day, you can just undo every single thing. I've seen people undo it in a meal. It's amazing how quickly a good meal out with friends can rack up to be like all the calories you should have eaten in a day. Or lately, everyone's been eating. Oh, milkshakes. Milkshakes has been a thing in the last 3 weeks that I've heard everyone is loving their milkshakes. I'm like, oh, that'll undo it all. So, taking cheat days out every once in a while, you have your treat, it's amazing, but don't go all out for the full day. So, don't do it.
So, and what I'm hearing you saying too is you got to be careful of cheap meals.
Yes. And so this is one thing too, is we are fortunate enough to live in a culture where the food's not really going anywhere. That great, amazing thing that you love to eat, it'll be there. So we can have some of it, a small amount of it, without having to eat all of it right now. So even the best, most amazing dish that you can think of that's, full of all the cheese and cream and the things that are gonna just add so much weight. We can bring that size down, bring the portion size down, and just have some of it. We don't have to have the big production of everything. And I think that's something that we struggle with as a culture is saying, but I love this food. Great, love a bit of it, and then have the rest later. So that we don't have to 3,000 calorie out a meal.
Now, you mentioned the bad stuff to drink, like the sodas, the lemonades, Kool-Aids. How
Yes.
much water should we be drinking?
Ooh, this is a good question. It's a really good question. I find people are overdoing water. They either were like barely drinking any or drinking gallons. And it's really for most people, it's around that like 8 to 10 cups of water a day, provided you're eating all your veggies. So we have all the, and this is, I think, where it gets confusing, is that there is a fluid requirement for your body for a day. And that's a pretty large fluid requirement. But when that's calculated, we're under the assumption that you're eating your vegetables, that you're eating your fruits, which have water in them. So it's including all of those things in it. And or even that you're eating your healthy carbs, your whole grains and like your brown rices and things like that that have that moisture and water in it. And so with all of those things, if you're eating what you should be eating, then 8 to 10 glasses of water a day is perfect, which is about 4 or 5 bottles of water if you're a bottled water drinker. And other things like I'm sitting here drinking like one of those sparkling waters right now. Anything that doesn't have sugar in it or caffeine, that counts. So, you can have, there's so many sparkling waters out here, and aha, and bubbly, and there's a million of them. So that's a way too, because some people say, oh, I'm bored with water. I've been drinking so much. But that's another way to get in. Or teas, any kind of tea that's not caffeinated, any herbal teas that also counts towards your water in a day. So it doesn't always just have to be straight water, but if it has caffeine or sugar in it, it doesn't count as our fluid.
Now you mentioned caffeine. What about the coffee drinkers?
Oh, the coffee drinkers. So the coffee drinkers, really, for every additional like 16 ounces of coffee that you have, you're adding in another glass or two of water, because that coffee is really, really dehydrating. And I know some folks out there, we really love our coffee. I've heard up to 64 ounces of coffee in a day. I was like, oh, I wanted 64 ounces of water, not coffee. And that counts for even decaf. It has a little bit of caffeine in it. And just the coffee itself can be dehydrating as well as the caffeine. So,
oh, Lord, I'm in trouble.
We're just going to sit you down, Crystal, and just put all the water in front of you and just sip, sip, sip. Yes.
I mean, pre-COVID, I probably would drink maybe 6 ounces of coffee a day.
Yeah.
But I'm feeling exhausted more now. So I'm drinking a little bit more.
Yes. And what I've recommended a lot of people to do is, you know, now that a lot of folks are working at home in the office, you know, we would carry around bottles of water, or, you know, you have the literal water cooler there. Like, carry around your bottles of water at home. Like, you know, if you have a 32 ounce jug of water that you carried around the office, your office is now your house. So carry it around, you know, keep those same habits.
Okay. That's good. That's a good suggestion. Now, you mentioned sugar.
Mm-mm.
I mean, I think we generally kind of know that it's bad. I think folks know that, but
we hope,
but we still, you know, we keep eating everything.
Yes.
With the sugar.
Yes.
So tell us why we need to avoid those things.
So sugar, natural sugar is amazing. So this is another thing that we get confused on. So your fruits, great. Your pineapple, your bananas, all that, that's the sugar your body needs. So our brains are fueled only with glucose, only with sugar, which is why sugar can be so tricky, because your brain controls everything and it wants its energy. So if you are really tired, if you're not getting the sleep you need, if you are even just feeling bored, if your brain is not getting what it needs, it's going to ask for more sugar. If you are not feeding yourself the way you should, your brain is going to ask for more sugar. So a lot of our obsession and cravings around sugar are a very key way of knowing that you're not giving your body what it needs. If you're having these sugar cravings, something is missing. And sugar is pretty devastating to us, because even if you have like a really well-functioning body and the insulin's working, it's bringing your blood sugar levels down, our bodies just aren't designed to handle the amount of sugar we are now able to put into it. Our bodies were not designed with Oreos in mind, and yet they exist. And so, and it devastates every part of your body, every organ system, your liver, your stomach, your pancreas, you know, your muscles, your brain. It's completely devastating to all of it. And because we talked about your brain is it's your main fuel source, it really can become an addiction, where your brain gets used to this certain level of this drug, this sugar. And people will get this, like, they'll start feeling shaky and jittery and moody if they don't have what their brain has gotten used to having. And so for many people, they find that, like, just the way you would wean off of anything else, they're trying to wean off their sugars. But as I talked about before, there is a place for these things. So we can't pretend we're never going to have ice cream or never going to have a cookie. But I say that when you do have these things, they're sometimes foods, is what nutritionists love to say. These are sometimes foods. They're not rewards for anything. So especially for those who are raising families and trying to set up these good eating habits in their children, is we don't reward with any kind of food, but especially not sweet foods. We don't make this something that we aspire to, or that like if you eat something, then you get this sweet thing. You know, there really are like sweets should be spontaneous, and they should be fun, and they should be not very often. So a great way to do that is like hot days in Georgia right now. It feels like it's 100 degrees outside. So maybe on the weekend you just say, hey, let's go to this, you know, new ice cream place and grab ice cream as a family. And like, oh, that was a lovely, like, fun event now that you did. Or let's make cookies together. And then to avoid eating 3 dozen cookies, let's give some of these cookies away. So let's, you know, we'll have a couple and then let's share these with friends and neighbors. So making it more spontaneous, and not this mandatory thing in our lives. And then when you have it, enjoy the best of it that you can have, but also not like a whole pint of ice cream. So.
Okay. Now, one thing you mentioned, you said if someone might be craving sugar, it may mean their bodies aren't, or their body isn't getting what they need. How do we start to explore what it is our body is missing that's causing that?
It's really taking an inventory of everything that goes into healthy living. And sleep is a giant part of that. I find myself talking about sleep a lot, and people are like, I thought we were here to talk about food. Because if you're not getting the rest that you need, then your body is constantly running at this deficit, this energy deficit. It's just, and when your body's running at that energy deficit, then it's going to fill it up with sugary things or caffeine and sugar. Because, you know, Starbucks is really popular for a reason. And it's not just their amazing coffee. They have a keen ability to put a lot of sugar with it, which gives you the hit of everything that you need. So I always say start with sleep and make a really honest inventory of that. And for a lot of people, it's working on a new routine around their day and a new routine around getting to bed. And, you know, like really slowing down, working in a different way, which is really hard for most of us to make that transition. So that's the first place we start. And then also taking an honest look at what your meals look like. And are you eating all your meals? Are we skipping things? A lot of times if we, you know, skip a meal, then now you're just like, give me whatever. You know, it's hard to plan and eat your green beans and you know, your brown rice and baked chicken if you haven't eaten all day, because your body is now just screaming, I need, your brain screaming, I need sugar. Give me my sugar. And once you get into that cycle, it's hard to get out. So it's paying attention to yourself, kind of going off of taking ourselves off of autopilot. And paying attention to really what a typical day for you is like.
So sleep, man, you're right about that.
That's a hard one.
I've been trying to, now that I'm working from home, get more rest, even if it's a quick nap.
Mm-hmm.
I've been trying to do that.
Yes, that wind down. And I know, like, this is also stressful times for people as well, which impedes sleep. And, you know, I've been there, small business owner, pandemic hits. We're like, what are we going to do? But even in that, I knew I had to prioritize sleep because then the rest of my day would just be completely off. And, you know, I used to be one of those who lived off of 3 or 4 hours of sleep. And I was like, I feel great. You know, I'm working so efficiently and going to bed at 2, waking up at 6. I'm doing great. And then I started to get, you know, 7 hours. Oh, I was not doing great. That was horrible. I just didn't know how horrible it was. And there's a great book, Why We Sleep. It starts off a little scary because it tells you, you know, basically how devastating not sleeping is and how it increases your risk of heart disease and diabetes and all these other chronic health conditions. But then it helps to map out how we can get better sleep. That's one of my favorites. And it also, it made me go like, okay, I can't keep on this way I've been living. And you do, you eat better. It's easier to get that exercise in. Exercise is another one that is key to just basic brain and body function. So really being honest with yourself about how much you're moving in a day. So those are all key.
Okay. Now, one thing I want to touch on for my own knowledge, but I want to get your take. What about dairy?
Oh, dairy. Beautiful dairy. dairy, we're not cows. So that's kind of the bottom line with it is it's not really needed. And, you know, we've done much better. So the USDA used to have its food pyramid and dairy was on the side. And the dairy industry paid a lot of money to be on there. Then we moved over to our plate, which is kind of the method I talked about today, that plate method. And we were so excited because for once there wasn't a cup of milk on the side. It was like, yes, we're getting somewhere as a society. And then the dairy industry paid a lot of money and they got their glass of milk on the side. But most humans are not truly able to consume or digest cow's milk or any kind of other mammal milk. Mammals, we nurse and then we wean and then that's it. and humans have kind of found a way to try to get around the system. But only a very small amount of the population has the gene that allows them, it's a rare genetic mutation that allows you to be able to consume lactose as an adult. So about 70 to 90% of people of color, Asian, African-American, Hispanic, can't digest lactose. 70 to 90%.
What?
It's huge. It's huge. and even those of European descent, it's around 50%+ cannot consume any type of lactose or dairy products, which is why you hear like, oh, I went paleo or I did Whole30 and I feel so good. And it's usually because you've taken a lot of those things are taking dairy out. And then you're like, oh, God, I feel amazing. This is really, really good. And I am a former cheese addict. I loved it. I would never like just drink milk, but cheese was just like this amazing force in my life. and I really fought hard. I had physicians tell me I had allergies at the time. And, you know, my allergist told me, if you give this up, your allergies will go away. And I was like, that's fine. I will just take allergy medication. It's fine. And I didn't really understand what the cause why giving up dairy would suddenly like make all these other things better. But he's like, it's not meant for your body. So your body is working really hard to try to digest and work with these proteins that aren't supposed to be in your body, these sugars, these lactose sugars that aren't supposed to be in your body. And sure enough, you know, when I finally was ready to let that go, you know, everything went away. I woke up every morning, like I had to blow my nose every morning. Like that's just how I woke up. And I was like, oh, that's just like how I wake up. That went away. I was like, oh, oh, you're supposed to wake up just like clear and ready for your day. We're not meant to have it. It's not for us. And there's so many good dairy-free products. So, and you know, the dairy-free aisle is a big one now. And a lot of people are like making that little change of, okay, I still want my cheese, but maybe I'll switch over to like an Earth Balance margarine that's completely plant-based, or switch over to a Ripple milk or an almond milk and go, you know, plant-based in that direction. Of starting to cut down on the dairy.
Okay. Like, I've pretty much eliminated dairy from my diet. Okay. I mean, I will admit, occasionally I might have a slice of pizza.
Yeah. But so many places have dairy-free pizza now too.
Yeah. But I'm struggling with my daughter. Like, mm-hmm. she loves the cheese, and I don't know what to do to get her off of this cheese.
Yes. It's so hard because with cheese, like cheese is not even what, like the cow didn't even make cheese. So we took the cow's milk and we're like, let's like take all the fat and just put all the fat in one place. And so I mentioned that like our brains need sugar, our hearts require fat. And that's part of why we love fatty things and fatty, sugary things. It's like, yes. But our hearts, unlike our brains, do not discern like, oh, I should only have like avocados and things. Our hearts are like, yeah, cheese, that's a nice fat bomb. We'll eat that. So a lot of the dairy-free cheeses can be helpful substitutions there. And when it comes to dairy-free cheeses, because for kids, like we're just not going to convince them that that's not healthy for them. They're like, whatever, I could care less. I'm young and my metabolism's amazing. but there's a lot of good dairy-free cheeses and substitutions out there. And that's a really good place to start for kids and for those who are trying to make that transition, but just miss their, you know, slice of cheese or miss their cubes of cheese. And like anything, it's trial and error. There are some amazing ones and there are some awful ones. The Chao, Chao, Chao brand is amazing for slices of cheese. There's a new cheese called Vio Life, V-I-O Life. That is amazing. And they have blocks, they have slices, they have feta, they have Parmesan. Like they have blocks of Parmesan that you can shave. And those are at every, like just regular grocery stores. It's looking at a new place. They're usually with your plants. So they're in the, a lot of times they're not in the dairy section, but they're starting to creep over to the dairy section. But a lot of times they're over with the produce. So they're there and it just takes some experimenting. But for any kids who come to my house, it's going to be dairy free. So we're going to be trying something new.
Well, I'm going to the store today. I got to look at some cheese. I got yes. this unicorn salt. I got some things that I got to buy. So this is some good stuff. Now, I would be remiss if I didn't bring this up. Alicia, you are an author.
Yes.
Written some. Tell the listeners about these fabulous books that you have written.
So I have 3 cookbooks and then a book all about nutrition and breastfeeding. Quick and Easy Vegan Comfort Food, Quick and Easy Vegan Celebrations, and then Quick and Easy Low-Cal Vegan Comfort Food. And truly all of them are pretty low-calorie, but delicious. And so those are really helpful. We're talking about going dairy-free. Like there's like dairy-free mac and cheese and Caesar dressings. And it's really those like down home favorites that we all love, just taking out the meat and the dairy and the eggs. And for those who are looking for, a lot of people are like, well, I don't want to go vegan. I'm like, that's fine. But you can find ways to incorporate more plants into your diet that are really tasty and flavorful. You know, there's a collard green recipe with, you know, no meats and chili, And Philly cheesesteaks and jambalaya and, you know, fried oyster mushroom po' boys. And there's There's so much that you can do with plants. So those are my first three books. And then the most recent book, Boost Your Breast Milk, is all about breastfeeding and nutrition and nourishing ourselves so that we can nourish our babies. And a good bit of that book, for those who are parents or who are one day want to go on that journey, it's all about just the pitfalls that we can run into, troubleshooting like those nursing issues, and you know, the advice of just how to overcome those big issues. So half of it is a book all about, you know, breastfeeding and overcoming the obstacles to reach your goals. And then the other half is how you nourish yourself, nourish your body, increase milk production with foods. And there's also 75 recipes that are like new parent friendly. There's a whole section on dairy-free milks and making your own, which was really a fun section to make. And they're so simple. It's like the most simple thing in the world. Like cashew milk is just, you put cashews in the blender with some water, maybe a little maple syrup, and ta-da, you have milk. So it's really, it's a lot more simple. Plant-based diets are a lot more simple than we think.
Okay, that's some good stuff there. And listeners, I'm going to have, or you will find the links to her books in the show notes. So make sure you check them out. Now, Alicia, thank you so much for coming today, but I want to give you the opportunity to tell folks, how can they reach you? So if they want to engage your services or learn more about you or your books and how we can eat healthier, how can they reach out to you?
Yes. So our website, PEAPOD, so PEAPOD, nutrition.org, so that's O-R-G. You can find out all the information about PEAPOD. We do, you know, in-person, telehealth, so it doesn't matter where you are. We have clients all over the country. So that's one thing about the pandemic is people are like, oh, yeah, I can get a nutritionist on the phone or on by video chat, like completely. And then PEAPOD or at PEAPOD Nutrition on Instagram, of course, PEAPOD Nutrition on Facebook, and PEAPOD Parents on Twitter.
Thank you so much, Alicia. This was really, really informative. Like, I'm blown away by the information.
Yay. Everyone go out shopping.
Thank you so much. And listeners, make sure you check out Alicia's books, her website, and even engage her services. She does telehealth. So thanks again so much.
Thank you. Thank you.
It was awesome.
Thanks, Crystal.
Well, there you have it once again, Go Hard Chicks. I really hope you enjoyed this episode with Alicia C. Simpson. I know I did. And I took notes. And I'm going to listen again because she gave us some valuable information that I plan on implementing in my life. I really hope you enjoyed this episode. And if you did, please leave a rating and review. Doing so helps me to continue to bring you guys this awesome content and bring guests on like Alicia Simpson or Dr. Williams. Leaving a rating review really helps me, ladies, to continue to bring you this great content. So I really hope that you take a minute or two of your time and do so. And also share the podcast with your friends and family. Once again, Go Hard Chicks, I appreciate your listening. I appreciate all the support. Gosh, you guys just don't know how much I really, really appreciate the support. And I am moved by the messages that I've received and the encouragement that I've received, that you all are really getting something out of this content. Until next time, Go Hard Chicks, take care.